I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is January 31st, 2015. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's episode is taken from the website of Ikras.com. That's IKHRAS. The website identifies two editors named Thabit Al-Arabi and Kazim Lutfi. They have a webpage entitled 10 Talking Points on Palestine for Arab Americans. Since the editors of the blog Ikras didn't even have the courage to identify the author of this essay, I will simply merge their first names into Thazim in order to address their points. Point number one, Gaza. They wrote, with Gaza under siege since 2007, and with repeated Israeli massacres in this small strip of Palestine, the most recent ending just a few days ago, it's natural that Gaza often becomes the focus of world attention. Thazim, you give Gaza way too much credit. Most nations probably don't even know that that little strip of desert wasteland even exists. Most countries have their own problems to deal with and haven't the time nor the resources to devote to a tiny little medieval society. They continue. However, it is critically important to remind your audience that Gaza is not a separate political entity or geographic unit, but an inseparable part of occupied Palestine. Thazim, there is no such thing as an inseparable part. To make a statement that stupid requires a complete ignorance of not just Middle East history, but world history as well. All nations on earth have undergone some form of separation or conglomeration resulting from invasion or secession at some time in their histories. They wrote, remember to point out that 75 to 80% of the population trapped in the Gaza open-air prison is made up of refugees ethnically cleansed from their towns and villages in 1948 and their descendants. Thazim, what do you mean, trapped? They are surrounded by Muslim nations, reachable in less than 1 week by a donkey. If they are trapped, it is because they choose to remain. That's why you called it an open-air prison. You needed to find a phrase that would give the false impression that the people there were not free to leave. Point two. All of Palestine is occupied. When you speak about occupation, you must make clear you are referring to the occupation of all of Palestine. This can be done by simply referring to the 66-year occupation. The phrase, from the river to the sea, is also effective in providing proper context and clarity. Remember to point out no foreign government or international body ever had a right to partition Palestine or establish any entity in that country without the consent of the Palestinian Arabs, the original inhabitants of Palestine, its only indigenous population, and the sole owners of the land. Thazim, reality begs to differ. History is replete with invaders replacing inhabitants or borders being redefined. The entire Western Hemisphere is a good example. Thazim, have you ever read a history book in your entire life? Point three, Palestinians' right to self-defense and resistance. You should not hesitate to defend the right of the Palestinian people to self-defense and resistance, including armed resistance. Thazim, one thing we can always count on is that you people will always refer to murder and genocide as self-defense. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I provided them a link to the rocket attacks on Israeli civilians. I know, Thazeem. All those thousands of rockets you guys fired into civilian areas were in self-defense for when Israel would later retaliate. They wrote, your role is to defend this basic right without expressing a preference for any one form or method of resistance. Thazeem, I think Hamas has already expressed a preference for one form of resistance, the use of women and children as human shields. And I provided them a link to the Gaza conflict, specifically human shields. They wrote, that is entirely up to the occupied Palestinian people. Make sure to point out there is no moral or legal equivalence between the violence of the occupier and colonizer and the resistance of the occupied and colonized. Thazeem, we agree that there is no moral or legal equivalence, but not for the reasons you might think. Point 4. You can defend resistance groups without violating U.S. law. Many people will want to focus on Hamas. You should point out that while Hamas is not the issue, it is not the terrorist organization that is portrayed by U.S. regime media and the Zionist propaganda machine. Thazeem, Hamas is one of the main issues. Hamas, or its military wing, has been designated as a terrorist organization by Australia, Canada, Egypt, Israel, Japan, Great Britain, and the United States. You kind of left most of those countries out. Thazeem, take special notice of the Muslim-dominated nation of Egypt. Even they despise those terrorists. Another Muslim nation, Jordan, has also banned Hamas. Now that we've added in some facts that you conveniently left out, it is obvious that it is you people who are operating the propaganda machine. They wrote, point out that Hamas is the largest of several Palestinian resistance groups in occupied Palestine that are currently operating under a unified command with the full support of the Palestinian people. Thazeem, strip searching the two of you wouldn't turn up a single honest bone between you guys. As this link shows, and I provided them a link to Hamas violence and terrorism, Hamas does not have the full support of the Palestinian people. Hamas has probably killed more Gazans than Israel in its attempt to take control of Arafat's lucrative empire. That would be the empire that netted him over $1 billion while leading a society that was as poor as dirt. They wrote, understandably, in a climate of fear and intimidation, and with the increase in civil rights violations of recent years, many Arab Americans will hesitate to defend a Palestinian resistance movement the U.S. government has designated as a foreign terrorist organization. Thazeem, there are many liberal groups, non-Muslims, who think it is politically correct to defend terrorists. One example is the popular online blog, The Daily KOS. And I provided them a link to the Daily KOS. This is one of the few issues that conservatives actually get right. They wrote, you can and should defend Hamas and all Palestinian resistance groups within the bounds of the law. Thazeem, why? Why should anyone defend terrorists? If you want them to defend people who are being victimized, have them defend the Palestinians who are being victimized by the terrorists. The terrorists who kill those Palestinians who dare to stand in their way. That's whom they should be defending. They wrote, U.S. law prohibits providing material support or resources to a foreign terrorist organization. While the phrase material support is arguably ambiguous and has been subject to varied legal interpretations, it certainly does not encompass your right to express your opinion and challenge the terrorist designation. You should forcefully emphasize Hamas and the other Palestinian factions are not terrorist groups. Thazeem, forcefully emphasize? You terrorists and terrorist sympathizers always give yourselves away. They continue, but resistance organizations fighting against foreign invasion and occupation. Thazeem, you seem to have your history backwards. In 1967, Israel wasn't the foreign invader. They were attacked by Egypt, Jordan, and Syria. And I provided them a link to the 1967 Israeli-Arab War. They wrote, "Activists should be fully aware of the relevant U.S. laws and the potential legal ramifications of Palestinian solidarity activism. If you're not sure about any course of action, please consult an attorney." Thazeem, that might not be the greatest advice, considering that a large number of attorneys in America are Jewish. Point 5. Disproportionate use of force. Do not invoke the argument of disproportionate use of force by Israel. The principle of proportionality is a norm of customary international law applicable to armed conflict, but any reference to this principle includes an inherent presumption that Israel is entitled to the use of proportionate force. You should remain focused on the fact Israel is a foreign invader and occupier with no right to use any level of force in defense of its military occupation and colonial regime. Thazeem, that's not quite how the United Nations sees it. Israel is a full member nation. Palestine only has observer status. Point 6. U.S. regime complicity in Israel's war crimes. Point out U.S. complicity in all of Israel's past and present war crimes. Demand a complete halt to U.S. political, economic, and military support for Israel. Thazeem, my guess is that even without U.S. military support, Israel, as a nuclear-armed nation, could send its neighbors back into the Stone Age if it really wanted to. Oh, that's right. Its neighbors are already living in the Stone Age. They continue. Make sure to have done your homework and provide accurate and detailed information about the extent and scope of U.S. economic and military assistance. Remember that during the most recent massacre, U.S. regime officials endorsed Israel's actions, repeatedly defended Israel's right to defend itself, and replenished Israel's ammunition supplies. Thazeem, Israel could vaporize each and every one of your barbaric little backward countries if it really wanted to. But does anyone believe that if the situation were reversed, that Arab nations would hesitate to use nuclear weapons against Israel? That was a rhetorical question, Thazeem. We all already know the answer to that one. Anyone who has any doubt that Arab nations would likely use atomic weapons should consider that these are people who will sacrifice the lives of their own women and children simply for the purpose of obtaining political currency. Point 7. Palestine, Arabs, and universal human values. Remind your audience this is not solely a Palestinian-Israeli conflict, but an Arab-Zionist conflict. Just as different regions of Palestine and Palestinians under occupation and in the diaspora should not be divided, nor should Palestine be separated from the rest of the region. Point out Israel has been in a state of war with all its Arab neighbors since its inception. Thazeem, and whose fault is that? Don't answer that. As a terrorist apologist, we already know your answer. They continue, and in addition to occupying Palestine, continues to occupy parts of Lebanon and the Syrian Golan Heights. Emphasize that while the liberation of Palestine remains the central cause of the Arab world and the Arab American community, it is ultimately a morally compelling cause that rests on universal human values. Thazeem, for any Muslim to be stupid enough to bring up universal human values is like listening to a lecture on pet care by Michael Vick. Point 8. Religion, a distractor and an opportunity. You will inevitably run into those who, either out of ignorance, emotion, ideology, or propagandizing motives, will want to frame the conflict in religious terms. Thazim, you will also inevitably run into those who do everything in their power to hide the fact that religion is the main issue in this entire mess. Thazim, you have to be one of the most dishonest, lying pieces of shit that I have ever encountered. They continue, point out this is not a religious conflict and remind your audience the conflict is about colonialism, ethnic cleansing, military occupation, and apartheid. Sure, Thazim, they'll buy into that one while they're watching videos of Muslims shouting Allahu Akbar as they detonate their belt bombs in shopping malls and city buses. They continue. Inserting religion into the discussion does not have to be a distractor. An informed activist can approach the insertion of religion into the discussion as an opportunity to dispel religiously based mythologies that underpin the Zionist claim system. Most importantly, sufficient knowledge of the ancient history of Palestine will enable the activist to expose and discredit the connection between present Jews and ancient Jews, as well as to discredit the connection present Zionists want to make with biblical ancient Israelites and Hebrews. Before Zionists appropriated the land of Palestine, they appropriated its ancient history. An educated activist is essential in reclaiming this history. Thazim, your interpretation of ancient history reminds me of what is going on in America right now, as Christians try to do everything in their power to excuse the genocide of millions of true Americans, Indians, and the enslavement of millions of Africans. You guys should get together and compare tactics. Oh, that's right. You guys have been getting together for the last 1,400 years with pretty disastrous results. Never mind. Point 9. Don't waste time peace processing. Reject all discussion about any peace process or solutions. Thazim. Bingo. And that Freudian slip exposes the true Arab agenda. The total destruction of Israel, and the genocide of the Jewish people. Hamas and others have done everything in their power to prevent peace. There will be peace in the Middle East only when Arabs learn to love their children more than they hate the Jews. Damn, but you are one despicable, hate-filled group of people. It's unfortunate that decent Palestinians, meaning those who wanted to work towards peace, were silenced or murdered by you barbaric, subhuman, terrorist scum. They wrote, tell your audience a mystery, riddle, or puzzle requires a solution, but colonization and occupation requires decolonization and liberation. This is another opportunity for you to stress that Israel has no right to exist. Thanks, Thazim. You are doing a better job of exposing your own lies than I or anyone else ever could. Keep going. You're doing great. And now they keep going. And the conflict will end only with the dismantlement of the settler colonial entity. The return of all Palestinian refugees to their land, towns, and villages, and the reintegration of Palestine into its natural, historic, geographic, and cultural environment. Thazim, what do you think would happen if we tried that with American Indians? They wrote, avoid elaborating on the post-liberation political architecture of Palestine. Good point, Thazim. The bloody details might make them start having doubts about the morality of your planned pogrom. They wrote, such discussions are premature and should be left to the Palestinians to determine after the liberation of Palestine and the return of all refugees. Also, do not waste time responding to any legal arguments. Another great point, Thazim, especially when you are contemplating doing something illegal. They wrote, you should just mention that although international law is on the side of the Palestinians, the struggle for the liberation of Palestine does not need to be couched in any legal framework. Thazeem, you scored again. Why resort to legalities now when terrorism has worked so well? And point 10, accountability is a moral imperative. It is not enough to condemn Israeli war crimes and U.S. regime complicity in those war crimes. You should demand accountability, which means nothing less than the arrest and trial of all war criminals. But Thazeem, if they did that, there would hardly be any Palestinians left to populate the country. And they conclude by writing, even if the global political landscape and current distribution of power will preclude these demands from being realized in the near future, you should nevertheless insist upon them as a moral imperative. Thazeem, once again, seeing a terrorist-sympathizing violent ghost worshiper like you talk about moral imperatives makes my eyes bleed. But then again, making people bleed and suffer is what your religion and culture is all about, isn't it, Thazeem? And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, ocean floor dust gives new insight into supernovae. Scientists plumbing the depths of the ocean have made a surprise finding that could change the way we understand supernovae. They have analyzed extraterrestrial dust thought to be from supernovae that has settled on ocean floors to determine the amount of heavy elements created by the massive explosions. Small amounts of debris from these distant explosions fall on the Earth as it travels through the galaxy. Researchers analyzed galactic dust from the last 25 million years that has settled on the ocean and found there is much less of the heavy elements such as plutonium and uranium than expected. The findings are at odds with current theories of supernovae, in which some of the materials essential for human life, such as iron, potassium, and iodine, are created and distributed throughout space. Supernovae also create lead, silver, gold, and heavier radioactive elements such as uranium and plutonium. Researchers studied plutonium-244, which serves as a radioactive clock by the nature of its radioactive decay, with a half-life of 81 million years. Any plutonium-244 that existed when the Earth formed from intergalactic gas and dust over 4 billion years ago has long since decayed. So any plutonium-244 that we find on Earth must have been created in explosive events that have occurred more recently, in the last few hundred million years. They analyzed a sample of the Earth's crust, representing 25 million years of accretion, as well as deep sea sediments collected from a very stable area at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. They found 100 times less plutonium-244 than expected. It seems that these heaviest elements may not be formed in standard supernovae after all. It may require rarer and more explosive events, such as the merging of two neutron stars, to make them. The fact that these heavy elements like plutonium were present and uranium and thorium are still present on Earth suggests that such an explosive event must have happened close to the Earth around the time it formed. And now we move to the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, Arthur C. Clarke. I will give no biography, as he has been previously quoted. The greatest tragedy in mankind's entire history may be the hijacking of morality by religion.
Are you ready, Bruce?